أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him and we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided, and anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one, without any partner. And I bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness, and die not except as Muslims. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa may yu'ti Allaha wa rasula faqad faza fawzan adhima. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds, and whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord, who created you from a single person, created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, inshallah, next Thursday, the 5th of May, will mark the Isra and Mi'raj. Isra and Mi'raj are Arabic terms that describe the mystical night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem and Prophet Muhammad's upward journey through the heavens to the very presence of Allah, subhanallah ta'ala. This is one of the most amazing events in the life of Prophet Muhammad, a life that was full of amazing events. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some scholars say that Isra and Mi'raj occurred on the 27th of Rajab. Others disagree about the date, saying that no one knows for certain, only Allah knows best. But no Muslim disputes the essence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Isra and Mi'raj, his mystical night journey and his ascension through the heavenly spheres. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. The Holy Quran alludes to this momentous occasion in the first verse of Surah Bani Israel. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa. Alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innallahu as-samiul basir. Glory to Allah, who did take his servant on a night journey from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, whose precincts we have sanctified in order that we may show him some of our signs. For Allah is he who hears and sees everything. My dear sisters and brothers, this momentous event occurred more than 14 centuries ago. then, as now, it aroused the skeptics and the cynics to dismiss it as a fantasy, a delusion. How can someone travel hundreds of miles in one night and then claim to have traveled through the heavens to the throne of God? Then, as now, the true believers have the same answer. He who created the heavens and the earth out of nothing can do whatever he pleases. He can part the oceans and save the followers of Nabi Musa, the Bani Israel. He can drown Pharaoh in the same ocean. He can flood the world while saving Noah, Nabi Nuh, alayhi salam. And he can turn the roaring flames that are licking at the feet of Nabi Ibrahim and decree, fire, be cool. And Abraham, Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salam, can walk out of the fire with no burns. Allah can change the properties of and the behavior of His creation anytime He pleases. He is the author. He is not enslaved by the natural worlds that He Himself has written. He can edit it and change it as He pleases. In the time of Nabi Musa, alayhi salam, a man was once asked, can Allah pass a camel through the eye of a needle? The man answered, not only can Allah pass a camel through the eye of a needle, if He decided to put the whole dunya, the whole earth through the eye of a needle, that's easy for Him. He can do anything He pleases. He only has to say to it, kun fayakun, be and it becomes, be and it is. Now, centuries ago, this might have sounded a fanciful idea. But nowadays, every self-respecting scientist, astronomer, actually accepts and they know that the universe began with a big bang 14.3 billion years ago. At that moment of the big bang, all matter, time, space and energy as we know it must have been concentrated in a very, very infinitesimally small point, certainly smaller than a pinhead and smaller than the eye of a needle. And all that energy and matter, space and time, was released in one cataclysmic moment in time. And as you all know, Edwin Hubble discovered this in the 1920s through his telescope, and he noticed that all the energies, all the galaxies, show a red shift in light, and they were moving away from one another. Just like when you throw a stone into a pond, you see the ripples moving outwards. So the theory is that because everything, all the universes, all the galaxies are moving farther away from one another, they must have been concentrated in a very tiny point right at the very beginning. And that's where this idea of the Big Bang came about. So every self-respecting scientist accepts that today. But of course, in the time of Nabi Musa, it must have sounded very incredible. But how can Allah pass a camel through the eye of a needle? Nobody disputes that nowadays. Allah can do anything He pleases, as I say. Now, in the short time that we have here today, I just want to deal with three points. The first is the story, the narrative of Isra and Mi'raj. The second is the significance of the Mi'raj. And the third is the gift of the Mi'raj. The story is very well known. It has a horizontal and a vertical aspect. The horizontal aspect is the journey itself, from Makkah to Jerusalem and back, all in one night. The vertical aspect is the ascent from Jerusalem to the heavens into the very presence of Allah, the glorified and exalted. We are told that one night the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying asleep near the Kaaba, when the angel Jibreel alayhi salam awoke him, washed his heart, and placed him on Buraq, a mystical winged horse. Buraq would travel from horizon to horizon in one leap. Accompanied by Jibreel, they rode to Jerusalem. And from there they traveled upward through the seven heavens, meeting and greeting the earlier prophets along the way. Until Jibreel alayhi salam stopped by the lot tree of the utmost boundary, the utmost extremity, Sidratul Muntaha. And he said, this is as far as I go. Not even an angel can go beyond this point. And from that point onwards, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to proceed on his own. Now, the Quran describes these events, and remember that it's very difficult describing something that we have no relation to or association with. So the Quran uses allegories and metaphors. This is where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam proceeded until, as the Quran says, he was qaba qawsain, two bows length from Allah. Let us remember that words are so inadequate here. We are trying to describe what is infinitely beyond description, beyond our strongest imaginings. The Quran simply uses an evocative description. His vision did not waver, nor did the eyes deny what they saw. This was the absolute nearest that any human being has ever come to the divine presence. Allah, the glorified and exalted, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alone at last, face to face, with no interlocutors, no distractions, not even Jibril alayhi salam. Creator and created, the best of creation, in direct communication. Again, in the words of the Holy Quran, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw of the signs of his Lord the greatest. And you'll find this in Surah Najm, verses 17 and 18. We are told that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam then descended to earth, and in Jerusalem he led all the prophets in prayer. He returned from his meeting with Allah carrying this blessed gift of the Mi'raj, which is the Salah. The Salah that we perform today is the gift of the Mi'raj, because this is what he brought back from that divine presence that he had during the Isra, the Mi'raj. At first he had instructions that Muslims were required to pray 50 times a day. But when Nabi Musa alayhi salam heard this, he said, it's going to be too difficult. Go back to Allah and ask Allah that your servants will never be able to pray 50 times a day. And we all know the story. He went back several times until finally it was reduced to 5 times a day. And still Nabi Musa said, no, people are lazy. They are forgetful. They are not even going to play five times a day. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, I'm shy. I'm embarrassed. I've got it reduced to 10% from 50 to 5. And I'm about, sorry, not 10%, by 90%. Sorry, my arithmetic isn't all that good. 90% reduction. And we 5 times a day. I'm too shy to go and ask Allah for more. So there we have it. The gift of the 5 daily prayers. It's a direct gift from the Mi'raj, from this great and mystical journey over 14 centuries ago. Imagine for a moment what Islam would have been like without the Salah, without precisely detailed formal prayers. Our faith would have been little more than an academic exercise, something to tickle the intellect, a belief system with some quaint notions about the meaning and purpose of life, but with no pivotal connection between Creator and created. Salah is what makes Islam more than just a good idea. But it is a functioning, purposeful relationship between Allah and His servants, between Creator and creation. Before the Mi'raj, Muslims had no idea as to how and when they should pray. Now we not only know how and when, but also, most importantly, we know the reason why. The why part is very important. Why do we pray 5 times a day? Why not just once? Why not just once a week like some people do? Remember that Salah is not a human invention. It is not the product of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's imagination. It was planned and prescribed by Allah himself. It's our divinely designed means of communication with Allah. This is how he wants us to turn to him 5 times a day, amidst all our distractions and our mundane pursuits of daily life. He does not want us to simply go into seclusion in a temple or a monastery to remember him once in a while. He wants us to remember him constantly in the marketplace, in the workplace, in our offices, in our homes, and during our leisure time. Right here, there, in the midst of life's distractions, we must keep our spiritual compass. We must maintain our moral integrity. This is the real challenge. While we are busy enjoying Allah's blessings, we must never forget who to thank. The All-Generous, the All-Merciful. Salah is our formal link with our Creator. It brings our body, mind and soul into complete harmony and submission to Allah. Properly performed, it helps us to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Our hearts fill with stillness, with serenity, sakina, and we develop a yearning to be close to Allah. We long to be in that blissful presence, just as our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoyed during the Mi'raj. In fact, Salah is our own Mi'raj. And in a well-known hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salah is the Mi'raj of the mu'min. In sujood, it's the nearest you and I will ever be to Allah. With heads touching the ground, all limbs facing towards Makkah, and all our thoughts and feelings and desires focused on Allah. This is the magical moment when we become like connecting rods between time, space and eternity. In prostration, in sujood, we humble creatures of dust when we shut off our body, mind and spirit to everything else except Allah's presence. We can become like lightning rods that connect heaven and earth. You all heard about bit of lightning and thunder last night. We can become like that, connecting heaven and earth in that moment of sheer and absolute surrender and submission. We become truly Allah's Khalifa, His vice-regent, His ambassador on earth. Brothers and sisters, when we pray properly, we should be rejuvenated, enlivened, and revitalized to take on life's challenges. If we do our salah properly, without distractions, without thoughts wandering this way and that way. And then great things become possible. So let's not neglect our prayers, and let's not do it as if we're just going through some motions out of habit. It's not like you're brushing your teeth or washing the dishes. We must concentrate, meditate, and be revitalized and rejuvenated with this wonderful gift of a personal mi'raj. Let's pray properly with meaning and with feeling. In salah, we're in the grand audience hall of the Lord of the universe. It's no place to let your mind wander or to be thinking about other things. Let's show Allah our love, our courtesy and our respect in our salat. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala khairil mursaleen Muhammadan Nabiyil Ummi wa ala ali wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. My dear sisters and brothers, when we Muslims pray, we enjoy a very special relationship with Allah. While other faiths have intermediaries, we Muslims have no priests, no rabbis, no archbishop, not even a pope to stand between us and Allah. We worship Him directly, and He answers us directly, just as directly as Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat in the presence of Allah during the Mi'raj. We are in our salah, we're in our personal Mi'raj. And no other ummah has that closeness to Allah than the Muslim who is in absolute surrender and so focused in Allah in his salah. Allah says, I listen to the prayer of everyone who calls on me. Let them also then listen to my call so that they may walk in the right way. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب الدعوة الدعاء إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلكم يرشدون. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, 70,000 veils may separate us from Allah, but nothing separates Allah from us. Allah is privy to our innermost thoughts and desires, and He is closer to us, as He says in the Quran, closer than our jugular veins. And if we perform our salah properly, Allah lifts those veils between us and Him. But the effort must first come from our side. It's not going to come just like that. We have to make the effort. We have to concentrate. We have to fight the distractions. Allah is closer to us than our jugular veins. What more do we need in the way of assurances and security? Without prayer, without regular intimate contact with Allah, we would be exposed to all kinds of dangers to body, mind, and soul. Prayer, salah, brings us intimately close to Allah, and it brings us into His circle of safety and security. Salah protects us like nothing else and no one else can. My dear brothers and sisters, we should never ever neglect our salah, never neglect our prayers. This is especially true now for those of us who are facing exams. No matter how busy you are with your last minute revision, don't neglect your salah. Don't lose Allah's protection. And seek Allah's help, because you've done your work, you've done your revision, you've done your assignments, but you still need Allah's help. And ask Allah to keep your mind calm and relaxed and focused so that you can do well and excel in your exams. And let us all pray here today, inshallah. Pray and ask Allah to facilitate success for all our students who are writing their exams. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. O our Lord, please give us the best of this life and the best of the life to come and save us from the torment of the fire. O Allah, please help all the students who are aiming to achieve excellent results and let them achieve it in their exams. Not just for themselves, not just to have a nice car and a nice home and go on holidays and so on, but to serve the Ummah, to serve the Deen and to serve all other communities, all humanity. Because we are not here just to serve ourselves. We are not a selfish and self-centered ummah. We are here to serve all of mankind, all of Allah's creation. And Allah, let them all shine as a good example to others, and let their success lead to good, productive, and rewarding careers that benefit the whole of humankind, inshallah. Amen. Brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون ولا ذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds and generosity to others and to relatives, and He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. He instructs you so that you may be reminded. And remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. And without doubt, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing in life, and Allah knows the deeds that you do. Amin. Aqim as-salat.